Thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood, brought to you by Miller Lite.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies at Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So, Bears had their last open practice before the opener this weekend at Soldier Field. It was really awesome to see all the Bears reporters from rival radio to the newspapers to online all sporting their Sylvie Strong shirts. Very, very cool.
Very cool.
And Sylvie, we love you, man. Friday is his final chemo, God willing, and then he will hopefully get a clean bill of health. Hard to believe how fast, not for him, but from RC. Oh, my God, six chemos will be down as of Friday? Amazing.
I'm just really happy for him. We knew that he'd kick cancer's ass, and he's done it, and I'm really happy for our teammate. I really am. He's a great guy, and when you have so much support, it helps along the way, and I'm sure it helped him.
We're going to talk some football. Will the Bears have a quarterback before the opener?
With naming a quarterback, that's something internally that we're going to stick to. But I would say for you guys to know, just to save you the questions, that won't be happening before that game.
Won't name a quarterback before the opener. That leads us to Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune and ESPN 1000. Dan, good morning. Did that surprise you that he's going to keep it in-house until that Sunday?
First of all, the odds of that being protected until the Sunday of week one are astronomical. This league is made for this information to get out. So if Matt really believes that the rest of the world won't know who the starting quarterback is until noon on Sunday of September 13th, I think he's a little delusional. It's going to come out at some point here in the next 8 or 9 days. So, no, it doesn't surprise me. What I get a kick out of Cap is that these coaches always in the NFL always feel like they're pulling a fast one on the opponent. And yet whenever you ask an opposing coach, hey, the other team doesn't know who they're starting at quarterback, is that a big deal to your preparation? They always say, no, we focus on what we're doing and we'll be fine. And so there's always this weird back and forth. When you're on the one side of it, you're saying, oh yeah, we're going to do this gamesmanship thing and gain a competitive advantage. And when you're on the other side of it, you're like, it makes a minuscule difference in what the actual result of a football game is. So it's all noise. I think the bigger problem for the Bears, as you guys have talked about a little bit, is that there is not a real clear-cut answer on which quarterback should be their starter, and that for everyone in Chicago should be worrisome.
I retweeted this yesterday from John McClain, who's a great writer, not the guy in Die Hard, the guy who writes down in Houston. Memo to all the head coaches who are paranoid about the media. Jack Pardee played 17 years in the NFL, coached Chicago, Washington, and Houston, and told me in 1991, I've never seen a reporter have anything to do with winning or losing a football game. If I do, I'll let you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You go out, you play better football with better players than the other team, and you win. All this other stuff, you know, I've talked about this before, where Foxy used to be doing all these things, and he'd say, it's a competitive advantage, it's a competitive advantage, and by the end of his time here, he won 14 games in 3 years. You know, okay, where was the competitive advantage? If that was giving you a competitive advantage, how bad would you have been if you didn't do all these energy-wasting, time-wasting things to sort of run play action on the media and do all these other things? Again, I think the bigger conversation that we have to be worried about is that with the quarterback and with the offense as a whole, there has been little discernible progress that we in the media have been able to pick up on. And so going into the 2020 season, you say, man, is this going to be a repeat where you've got this top-notch, perhaps elite defense sort of held back by an offense that can't score 24 points on a regular basis?
Dan, we saw what happened with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's inexplicable that you can tank in the NFL. That's just awful what Jacksonville is doing to that franchise. And we see that Leonard Fournette is available. How much would your opinion of the Bears' offense change if Fournette was a Bear?
Well, gentlemen, I'd say this much, that I'm surprised that Leonard Fournette's career did not hit that sort of runway to stardom. I thought this guy coming out of college was as NFL-ready and prepared to be a major playmaker in this league as any running back in recent memory. And to see where his career is right now on the last day of August 2020 is surprising. for the Bears' sake, I think they have to be honest with themselves on what the timeline of David Montgomery's groin injury really is. Obviously, there's some optimistic timelines out there. You're also talking about a groin issue for a running back who needs a groin to be at full strength, to be able to cut, change directions, accelerate. And so they have to be very honest internally about how quickly he can be back at 100% and what it looks like from there. If there's realistic visions that he'll be fine by week two or week three, well, then you ride with the guy that you traded up to draft and you believe so strongly in. And by the way, before he got hurt, that guy was looking as good as anyone in Bears training camp. And so that position isn't the major worry for me. It's the offensive line. It's the quarterback. It's the depth at receiver. And then just trying to fit that all together in a scheme that works and gets you points. So that would be how I would address that one.
And again, this probably won't surprise you, my friend. I couldn't disagree with you more vehemently because this is a one-year commitment. I have the salary room with Eddie Goldman opting out. I've got the cap room for the $4 million or so it would take to have him. And I can go thunder and lightning, as my friend Jay Hood called it, and go, you know what, David? We want you back in there. You're our guy. We love you. We've got another guy here as well. You get yourself healthy, and let's 1-2 punch him right up the gut. I take Leonard Fournette trying to prove himself all day, every day.
Hey, certainly it's worth exploring. There's no question about it. There's no question that you go out and you figure out what this could look like, and when you have a guy with that level of talent, you figure out if it works. I'm just telling you, as I always do, don't lose sleep the rest of the week if it doesn't happen for you.
I'll follow up with this. Dan, tell me about the cornerstones on offense that Foles and Trubisky can really rely on this season.
Yeah, so let's start here. Allen Robinson, who hasn't practiced in a week and a half with an ankle injury. Now, I think he's trending in the right direction and should be hopefully on the practice field this week, and certainly by the time they get ready to get into the week one preparations. Beyond that, you're taking a leap of faith, Jonathan, on Jimmy Graham being a legitimate playmaker in this offense, which, look, nobody is under the delusion that it's going to be 2015 Jimmy Graham. We're all in agreement there. You're talking about Montgomery at full strength would be a guy that you would consider a building block in this offense. And then you need a breakthrough from Anthony Miller, right? You need that guy, a second-round pick from a couple of years ago, to become a legitimate number two receiver who is capable of those 120-yard, one-touchdown performances like we've seen at times. And he has to at least be a factor in every single game you play. And last year it was some weeks he was really, really good. And a lot of weeks he was non-existent. And so that they need to find answers on offense. And that's up to everyone in the coaching staff to identify who those guys are and to turn them loose in ways that maximize their strengths.
So you mentioned that, and we played the little clip of Matt saying we're not going to name a quarterback. And yet we all believe in today's times, publicly, that we're going to find that out, whether it's you or somebody is going to go, yeah, well, guess who's taking all the first-team reps? Blah, blah, blah. Is this indicative that these two guys don't look very good and we're in big trouble?
I don't want to say big trouble yet, but certainly I think you've heard the reports consistently from just about everybody that's been out there with eyes on these practices over the last 2 weeks that neither guy has been impressive. There's certain signs where you say, okay, that looks pretty good. And then there's stretches where it's, my God, this is so mediocre, it's hard to fathom, it's hard to stomach. I thought last Wednesday Nick Foles had his best practice and the best practice of either of these guys, and you thought, okay, here's a breakthrough. Well, then the following day they end up canceling practice. They've got an off day on Friday. They get over to Soldier Field on Saturday, and he looked altogether average again. And so there is some worry there. I would say this, Kep, about Saturday's scrimmage. I was a little disappointed at the format of it, and I got the sense from both Foles and Trubisky that they were as well, because every play of that scrimmage was scripted. So, for example, the second play of the day, Trubisky hits a play-action dart to Riley Ridley, right? And it goes for about 21 yards, and you say, okay, let's see where Mitch can take this drive. Well, the script was the next play was going to be third and three back at the 33 instead of first and 10, momentum on the drive. And so all day long, every time a quarterback hit a big pass, it didn't matter what that gain was. They were just going by the predetermined script. And Trubisky said afterwards, it was weird. You know, you can't, as a quarterback, you can't get in the flow of a drive. You can't generate that momentum. You can't generate that sort of positive vibe in the huddle that, okay, we've got things clicking right now. You're just moving on to whatever predetermined situation that the coaching staff wanted you to run with. And I'm not sure, you know, the coaching staff believes it's best for their evaluation process to do that. I'm not sure it was best for both quarterbacks to be in that format on Saturday.
Dan, what are your thoughts on the secondary for the Bears? I would just imagine that Jalen Johnson would be pressing the service as getting a lion's share of the time there at one of the corner spots. What are your thoughts on the secondary so far in camp?
Yeah, Jonathan, number one, Kyle Fuller has had as impressive of a camp as anyone out there and looks to be playing at that Pro Bowl level again. Eddie Jackson is still Eddie Jackson. I think Deion Bush is going to wind up as your second starter at safety in a week and a half, 2 weeks here. And then when you talk about that other cornerback position, the question with Jalen Johnson is just how quickly does the coaching staff feel he can be trusted to be 100% NFL ready? And as we've talked about before, it's a steep climb when you miss rookie minicamp and OTAs and minicamp, and there's 3 weeks shaved off of your normal training camp preparation for a rookie to get used to all of the things he's got to get used to, the calls, the speed of the game, what he has to do playing off of his teammates. And so there is a little bit of a learning curve there for Jalen Johnson. For me, it's just a matter of when, not if, he becomes a starter. And I think it might be a little while yet before he is an every week starter. Now, he's going to be in that mix eventually, as soon as he's up to speed and as soon as Chuck Pagano and the rest of that defensive staff says, yep, we can trust him not to lose us a football game as a rookie, he'll be in there. But in the short term, I think you probably see some of Buster Skrin playing outside in their base defense and then bumping inside a nickel, and probably Kevin Tolliver playing outside. And you just hope that the rest of the playmakers on the defense kind of allow you to make up for any perceived shortcoming you have there. Not that either one of those guys is a weakness on the defense, but I'll tell you this, the defense as a whole looks really, really good at this point. They need Akeem Hicks back, obviously, but if he comes back at full strength, you're looking at a unit that can dream the biggest dreams.
All right, before we let you go, I know this is 2 weeks away, 13 days away from the Lions game. Do you look at this team defensively and think they're good enough that this team can be carried by their defense if they take care of the football? I'm not talking about scoring 30 points a game. Just take care of the damn football. We'll worry about the rest of it, like the 2000 Ravens, the 85 Bears.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
What?
You had me. I was ready to bite on the hook until you started naming the best defenses of all time.
Oh, no, I'm just saying those defenses carried their team. Can this Bears team in 2020 carry their team to victory? I'm not saying they're the best defense ever. Don't twist what I'm saying.
Well, do me a favor. Don't mention the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens, and we'll have this conversation in the right frame of mind here. I do think that this defense.
Don't be tweeting that I compared them, because I'm not. I'm just saying what those teams did.
It's already out. That tweet's already out. You know that, right?
Exactly.
All right.
He'll do it on Waddle and Sylvie. Go ahead.
Oh!
Yeah, well, I'll yuck it up at the end of the week with Waddle and Sylvie.
Exactly.
I like it. Yuck it up. I like that.
So here's what I'd say, Cap. If you can get me Akeem Hicks for at least 13 games, this defense certainly can be a top three defense in the league this year. If they get any help from their offense whatsoever, this team can win double-digit games, be one of the teams in the seven-team NFC playoff bracket, and see where they land in January and see what kind of momentum they have and where they can take things. There's no question that at all three levels of this defense, there are stars. I mean, there are stars. Let's just put it that way. That Roquan Smith is probably an emerging star at linebacker. You've got Hicks and Mack. You've got Robert Quinn now getting up to full speed. We talked about Fuller and Jackson on the back end. There are stars. And if those guys can make game-changing plays, and then, oh, by the way, hey, offense, can you please – just get us 24 points, you know, 7 out of 16 games. Then we'll win a lot of football games. And so we'll see if they can answer those questions on the offensive side of the ball. But defensively right now, here we are on the first day of week zero. Remember, guys, this is week zero in the NFL. I feel really, really strongly that this defense is set up to have a big year, and we'll see how far that takes them.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day. A good week.
You too.
All right. Dan Weider, Chicago Tribune. Keyshawn Johnson on the Bears quarterback competition, and Coach Matt Nagy. This should be interesting to hear.
Oh.
We will play that for you next. It's Sam Adams celebrating the return of sports to Chicago, Jonathan. And every day we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in Chicago. And today we salute Time Out Sports Pub, one of your spots. Open for indoor and outdoor seating. Time Out Sports Pub is your one-stop shop for cold beer, great burgers, and sports. Check out their menu online. Go enjoy a cold Sam Adams draft with them for $5 a pint. Right now, you can text Sam Adams, one word, Sam Adams, S-A-M-A-D-A-M-S, to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Text now. Stop in at Time Out Sports Pub tonight.
Not only are you and I hyped about the Bears in the upcoming season, but also on the show that comes on before us, Keyshawn, Jay Will, Zubin Mahinty, they're also talking about the Bears.
They are, and here is Keyshawn on Matt Nagy and the QB.
Why you got to wait to the right before the game to name a starter?
Why don't we just call for where it is? Just, you're going to start Trubisky, right?
Key, what do you think?
Like you're going to start with him.
He should start Trubisky and then bench him if it doesn't go well.
And then what about?
And then just roll with Foles, because at the end of the day, if you start Foles and then go back to Trubisky and Foles is not playing well, and then Trubisky's not playing well, then you got to go back to Foles. You want to start with Mitch Trubisky, give him a game or two or three and see where it goes, okay, and then go to Foles, because you're going to be done with Trubisky anyway. You didn't even pick up his fifth-year option, so that tells you right there you really don't have plans for him beyond this year as your quarterback.
Yeah, no, they couldn't have picked it up, right? He didn't earn the right to have that fifth-year extension.
Well, picking it up doesn't necessarily mean the money's guaranteed.
Sure.
You can still part ways with him. It just it's against injury. So they could have picked it up and been fine, but if he gets hurt, you got to pay it. So I think that they just said, you know what, let's see how it goes for him this year and how he plays, and that will determine. Now, I'm one to believe that if you're supposed to be this great offensive guru as a coach, you should be able to get this quarterback to do the things that you need him to do, which is don't put him in a situation where he has to throw the ball 50 times a game. Don't give him things that he can't do. Give him the things that he can. Now, in Matt Nagy's defense, maybe he is giving him stuff that he supposedly can do, and he's just not good. Now that goes back to, you passed on Deshaun Watson, you passed on Patrick Mahomes.
So that was Keyshawn and the guys discussing that, and then they got into more on the quarterbacks.
When you evaluated him, you liked his style more than you liked those other two, so you took him. And by you taking him, they now needed to get a coach in there who's supposed to be this offensive guru. He needs to get the offense to start playing and the quarterback to start playing like your reputation is as a quarterback coach. And that hasn't happened. But who gets all the blame is the quarterback. It's very simple. I once was told by a coach, know your personnel. Know your personnel. Know what you have. You don't have to turn him into Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. You could play solid defense, which you have a hell of a defense. You can run the ball, and you can allow him to manage the situation. And that's how you can win games. You don't have to have him be Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. You don't have to do those sort of things. And maybe that's who he is as a quarterback. Maybe he's not this guy that you saw in T-shirts and shorts when you evaluated him and thought, wow, he's got a big, strong arm. Maybe he's not that guy.
So the question is, how long do we continue to give the leash to Matt Nagy?
That's what I'm saying. So
how long?
I would think the heat is going to turn up depending on what happens at the quarterback spot this year. That's what I would think.
Remember the last three offenses?
Lovie Smith was their best coach they had in a long time, and they let him go after a subpar season, which was ridiculous.
And Lovie took him to the Super Bowl. Remember the last three offensive coordinators of the Chiefs? You got Doug Peterson, who left, won the Super Bowl in Philly. Then you have Matt Nagy, who got out to a good start but struggled. And then Eric Bieniemy is waiting in the wings. The last thing, Jay, I would say, if you're general manager Ryan Pace, you got to hope Trubisky wins this job, because that's your guy. That's your pick. It has to work.
There's no other choice. Right? I mean, it's Nick Foles is your other choice, but, I mean, it gets to a certain point. That's a poor reflection on your organization.
But even Nick Foles, who understands the system and knows the system because he's been around these guys, whether it was the Eagles or Kansas City, so it's kind of the same system, he ain't the best quarterback.
No.
Okay, he gives you a few games here and there and some excitement, and that's what you got. So you're basically working with two backups right now.
That's pretty strong. I'll tell you one thing. No show dumps on Nagy like that show.
Yeah, they always fire now on him.
Keyshawn does not appear to be a big fan of Matt Nagy.
I wonder if they've had history.
This is twice now that we've heard Keyshawn Johnson suggest that the issue is Matt Nagy, and it's kind of like, okay, my thought always is, when you underachieve, it's on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at the top with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, but also it's on the players for not being able to come together. You know, there's times when you have talent that you don't worry about coaching. Individual talent and working together as a team sometimes help. It can be able to override whatever the coaches are telling you. Sometimes if you get the natural ability to get it done, you can get it done on the field. But I tell you what, something about this show, that show in the morning, they have a hard time with Matt Nagy.
Yeah, they don't like that's the multiple times.
And so, yeah, if the team underachieves, it's on Nagy, but it's on everybody else too. If this team does not work out, if this team does not get to the playoffs, and by the way, Minnesota just got better again defensively with another deal that Jacksonville did. So Minnesota and Green Bay once again are the class of the NFC North. It's up to the Bears to be able to really have a charm season, come through offensively like we didn't think we'd ever see, because the defense will be fine, and for them to compete in the NFC. And I don't know if I see that just based on roster personnel, Cap. It's not being pessimistic. It's just taking a look at the personnel, especially with the quarterback spot. It's an offensive league. It's a vertical league. And so when Trubisky has not been able, who's been in the system, can't be miles ahead of a guy who just got here in Foles, that's troublesome to me.
No doubt about it. But Leonard Fournette hits the streets this morning, released by Jacksonville. And Doug Marrone just talked to the Jacksonville media.
Oh my God.
And they said, you couldn't trade this guy? Quote, this is Doug Marrone. Quote, we couldn't get anything. Fifth, sixth, we couldn't get anything. We're a better team today because we released him. They're better because they released the fourth overall pick.
Him and Caldwell, their GM, has got. I wish I had their type of job security.
They obviously have it to be able to do what they're doing.
Shad Khan and Tony Khan, who went to Illinois, it is amazing how they have run that franchise into the ground. You are in Jacksonville, warm weather city, no state tax. You were just a couple of years ago, I could have swore, maybe it was just my TV, I could have swore that they were on the precipice of getting to the Super Bowl. They were right there. They had one of the best defenses that we've seen in a while. And you just know that their quarterback wasn't going to get it done. But the point is that you were right there, Danny. And now look at that franchise. But though, going back to the point of hearing that sound from Keyshawn, Jay Willen, and Zubin Mehenti, my God, you would think that Matt Nagy is one of the worst coaches in the NFL. Like, he's the reason. I don't know, was he the reason why the Bears are not, we're not sure if the Bears are good or not?
Well, you knew who Mitch Trubisky was last season, right? And he didn't adjust his play calling. They didn't have a great offensive line, but he didn't attempt to run the ball as much as we all thought he should have.
Yeah, with that line, though, I don't know if you could have.
We know who Mitch Trubisky is. He still had him out there throwing the ball 30 times a game, right? So I can see from Keyshawn Johnson's perspective, a national football guy, looking at Chicago saying, well, Mitch isn't a very good quarterback, and they still have this attack where they're going vertical at all times.
Well, that's the only thing. That's the only part of the playbook that Nagy knows. I just don't like that Nagy had to listen to the media. The media tell him, why don't you run the football more? And, like, he's got to consider it based on what Harbaugh says, based on what Jeff Dickerson said. That's just weird to me.
He apologized when he talked to Sylvie on the air. He said, appreciate your honesty, and you're right. It's like, how do we not see that?
I
like Matt. I do.
I do. I like him, but it's, listen, the way Belichick does it is the right way. Speaking of sound bites, just get back to work.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Just get on the grind. I don't need.
Matt, are you ready to name a quarterback? Nope. We'll let you know before the game kicks off on that Sunday. We're on to Detroit. Next.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
That's it.
Here's the thing. People are going to need to know this. When Cap gets back to coaching, okay, you won't get the verbose.
Never.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen because I'm going to push you there. And you'll still be doing the morning show. It's going to be great. So when you go back
Coach,
to coaching.
Can we practice in the morning? Nope, I got radio with hoodie. Then we can practice.
Right, exactly. So it's going to be great. So when you go back to coaching, because it's great for the show. You got to go back to coaching. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like UB Brown. I've been doing this for a while. I'm going to get back into the modern game. All right? He goes to Memphis and wins the coach of the year, and then goes back to TV. He did it just to show you that I can still do this if I want to. That Memphis team was great with him, right? They were very solid.
They were.
Anyway, that's going to be you. So when you go back to coaching, you won't get the verbose, long-form thoughts, the take that from Cap. Cap will speak in very short sound bites.
Very short.
Like 15 seconds or less.
We're on to Youngstown State.
So you're not going to get long form Cap. You're going to get, you know, they're going to be like, what's wrong with Cap? Is he in a bad mood? No, no. That's Coach Cap.
That's it.
Short sound bites. We're not telling you any information. We're on to
Wright State. Do you realize that the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2017, they have a quarterback room of Blake Bortles and Chad Henne, and they take Leonard Fournette fourth over Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson?
Well, that's a problem too, isn't it?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, and you look at their list of number one picks over the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years, mm-hmm. 12 years. Justin Blackmon, Leonard Fournette, Blake Bortles. I don't think they have any of their last six. It's insane.
They built it properly. They built it properly, but now they're tearing it all down. And you know, Blake Bortles was never, it's like Trubisky. It was never going to work there. It was never going to work. But I just say that with Nagy, based on what we've hearing, they make it seem like it's all on him.
We're going to talk about it. 312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. Shot or no shot, and your call's next.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
He's Jay Hood. I'm Cap. 312-332-3776.
Good morning.
Good morning, kid. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. Thanks for having me.
Nice to be had.
That's it.
Yes?
Who are you talking about?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
We're busy here, pal.
All right, let's go to the phone.
I know you just don't want to be left out, but you're not going to, you know, with me, you're never going to be left out. You'll always know the story.
Just whenever you determine you're going to tell.
It's going to be, I guarantee it's between now and 10.
Sounds good. Carl in Nashville.
Hey, guys. My mind is this. It always starts at the top as far as the blame. And I think it always starts with the GM, because if you start out with beef in your beef stew and then you decide not to put beef in it and you put chicken in it, guess what? You have chicken soup now.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer have beef stew, right? And I can forgive them for passing up on Patrick Mahomes. I can forgive that. The one I can't forgive them for passing up on is Deshaun Watson. Even if you forget about the career that he had there, just think about the two championship games in a row. The first one he lost wasn't his fault. It was his defense fault. The second one he won, he put up almost 1,000 yards against one of the best defenses in college football history, both years in a row, and you don't pick him, you pick a guy from. I mean, come on. I mean, you that. So to me, if anyone gets to blame first, it'll be the GM for picking that quarterback over Deshaun Watson.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel the same way you did, Carl. I saw Mahomes in college, and I thought, well, maybe that's just a system. I don't know how that translates to the NFL, right? But Deshaun Watson for sure was a winner. And I said, that's a guy, if you have the opportunity to get him, you got to get him. And Trubisky was just not even a distant third for me. I mean, I'm a college football fan. You know, I didn't see him on the radar.
Sometimes you have to believe your eyes. You have to believe what you're seeing on any particular sports field if you are a GM.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw with my eyes was not only a dominant player in Deshaun Watson, but dominant character. The first one in, the last one out. He was a superstar that worked hard and just didn't take his God-given talents for granted. And for you to pass that up, to me, that's more unforgivable than even Patrick Mahomes, because, I mean, let's face it, none of us knew that Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady, and if you say so, you're lying. None of us knew that Patrick Mahomes was going to be this great. We knew it was going to be good.
Don't
but not
disagree.
Like this.
Carl, we got to roll. Thanks, man.
Take it easy, guys.
Appreciate you. He's right. Like, if you didn't feel like Patrick Mahomes was going to be able to make the transition from that air raid offense to this, he was ranked the 52nd best prospect by multiple services for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But we had Dabo Swinney on our show, and Dabo Swinney said, you guys better not pass him up. He's going to be Michael Jordan in football shoes. And my response to him was, okay, but we're picking third. Would you take him that high? He said, absolutely not. I would trade up to number one to make sure I got him. That's what I would do.
That was the genuine article. That was the for real pick right there. Trubisky, he did some good things, but never at that spot. I said that at the time. But I have to be honest, when it comes to the Mahomes thing, as great as he is now, I had no idea he'd be this good. Second-generation athlete in that special, in that particular offense, just didn't know he'd be that great. But again, the Mahomes thing, I'm good with. You go to Kansas City, and you're making yourself a living. But Deshaun Watson, that's unforgivable to me.
But the funny thing is, and I've told this story before, Andy Reid takes Matt Nagy and says, I want you to evaluate the three quarterbacks. We got to get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do a deep dive on all three. Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. So he does. His reports say on Trubisky, great kid, excellent leader, awesome work ethic, can make all the throws. The ultimate project, as raw as they come. Deshaun Watson, great kid. Awesome character, winner, has performed on the highest stage. Thin wrists, thin ankles lead me to believe he may be injury prone. Mm-hmm. Very good player. Patrick Mahomes, generational talent. Do not miss. Get this guy.
There you go.
So,
but
there
you go. Here's the thing. One can't grieve forever, Cap.
You can't.
One can't grieve forever. You have to turn the page at some point. Oh, the Bears
think they're still grieving in Portland over Sam Bowie? Oh, no,
sure.
They moved on.
At some point, you have to just turn the page and say, you got what you have. Now how do you get better?
Correct.
Because you keep looking backwards, you'll never be able to move forward as a franchise. So it's going to be hanging over Trubisky's head for his entire time in the NFL. But you got to move on. So how do you get better from here?
Let's go back to the phones. Mike's in Hoffman Estates. Hey, Mike, what's up, Sparkles?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call, as always.
Mike!
So I wanted to kind of talk about a couple things. I just feel like there's always this, like, bias kind of protection layer that Bears fans have for things that the Bears do in the offseason and the regular season, and kind of optimistically looking at the season. I feel like when you look at Matt Nagy specifically, you know, you can't necessarily get the players that you want or fit your scheme right away, or you know, technically sometimes never fit the scheme fully. But I feel like with Matt Nagy, there's things that he does that may not really have to do with the scheme that people think that he's a bad coach. Like when they played Green Bay and it was 3rd-and-1 and Jordan Howard was running like an animal and all they needed was 1 yard to seal the game, and they run a bootleg and it's an incomplete pass. Or, you know, Eddie Pinheiro not letting him kick a 40-yard field goal. These are things that aren't necessarily scheme, and this is where people lose faith in coaching. When you're not really doing those rules of thumb and, you know, doing things that you should just kind of be doing as a coach in general. And I just feel like Bears fans this year are just really optimistic on Jimmy Graham. Coming from a Packers fan, I'm telling you, I'll tell you exactly what you're getting. You're getting a 33-year-old tight end that is washed up, that may even get open, but he can't catch it. He couldn't catch a cold.
Well, we got to roll, Mike. We appreciate your call. We're going to find out because Jimmy Graham's been the surprise of camp so far. We'll find out. We will continue this discussion. 312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. ESPN.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Turn it up.
Turn it up.
Now we're ready.
Now we're ready. Nice cool one on a beautiful summer day. He's Jay Hood. I'm Cap. 312-332-3776.
People blaming the coach or not blame the coach. When you underachieve, you blame everybody.
Correct.
This season will tell a greater story than you and I can ever tell. You can have rooting interest, but here's how I look at it, Cap. I will never look at the Bears like we look at who's going to win 3A in the IHSA this year. We can't do that.
Correct.
It's too many expectations. We're a big city. We're Chicago, right?
Right.
And you and I both know the Bears drive the bus. This is why this is so important. The quarterback position is so important. Listen to Nagy over the weekend. It sounds like he was trying to be clandestine just so the Lions won't know who's going to be the quarterback. Well, can I tell you something? As bad as or mediocre as the Lions are, they're not afraid of Foles or Trubisky. They're ready.
They're ready to go.
And favored.
By a point and a half.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable.
So I thought that for the quarterbacks, the tempo was pretty good. You know what's hard for them is we scripted the entire day. So as you guys saw, we might have a first and 10 play that goes for 12 yards, and it should be first and 10 the next play, but it ends up being second and 8. Or there's a certain result where you think the ball is caught over the middle for a 20-yard gain, but there's it's only a 2-yard gain. So I was talking to them afterwards in the locker room, and you know it is challenging mentally to get used to the result of a play being different than what happened. So with naming a quarterback, that's something internally that we're going to stick to. But I would say for you guys to know, just to save you the questions, that won't be happening before that game.
Before that game,
I would say, well, as Weederer said, we're going to know before that, more than likely it'll leak.
No doubt.
I mean,
Jay Glazer's going to be on, or Weederer, or whoever, and go, yeah, Jeff Dickerson's going to go, put me on right now. Yeah, the Bears are starting so-and-so.
Trubisky.
Probably, but we'll see. Depends.
Well, what do you think? Don't you think it's, why don't you ride with me and just be definitive like me?
I can't yet.
Why?
Because
what do you need to see?
They're going to practice all week, and what if Trubisky's garbage all week and Foles is really good?
That's not going to happen.
Probably not.
That's not going to happen. Well, no, I'm saying
if it's a tie, it'll be Mitch.
Here's the issue, and here's where the rubber meets the road. Trubisky will not be garbage in practice. He won't be garbage.
Right.
He'll just be good enough to be able to start in that first game.
Correct.
See, that's the thing. Like, Trubisky's not garbage. You want him to be better than mediocre.
Correct. Especially when you picked him at 2.
No, I think we know what garbage looks like in the NFL. We know someone can score touchdowns, can throw the touchdowns, and also throw interception at the same time. It's Jameis Winston. You know, something like that. But what you want is some energy. Something that we haven't seen before from Trubisky. He's not garbage. And that's ultimately the issue.
Right.
That's
when
you're stuck.
He's mediocre.
Yeah,
and you picked
stuck.
Him at 2.
Like Foles might be better. Foles might be better. But Trubisky's going to start. He's got to fail in the job to lose it.
Nesby is a P1, listens all the time. Hey, Nesby, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Hood? What's up, Cap? How y'all fellas doing?
How you doing, Nesby?
Nesby?
All right, man. The thing is, and this is here, I'm going to lay it down real smooth, real quick.
Yes, sir.
I honestly, true, wholeheartedly, you cannot blame Matt Nagy, okay? He didn't force Ryan Pace's hand. And in all honesty, looking back, in hindsight, it's 2020, I know that these general managers have guys in place that come to them because it's impossible for them to watch every up-and-coming guy on Saturdays, right? So I want to know who the hell went to Ryan Pace and paused at the table and told him Mitchell Trubisky is our guy. Now, not only that, is it really Ryan Pace or is it ownership that told him from the jump, Mitch is our guy? Because there is no way on God's green earth that you can go out and stink it up the way this kid has stunk it up. He couldn't beat out a guy that's doing drywall at North Carolina for 3 years straight before he got the starting job. And then when he became the starter, he didn't put up Joe Burrow-type numbers. So why would you reach over a guy that was a national champion that beat probably one of the best defenses in college football back-to-back years? And you pass over him, you pass over Mahomes. I just don't understand it. Me, personally, I think ownership went to him and told him, Mitch is our guy, and we're going to ride with Mitch, thus tied his hand.
Look, and Nesby, appreciate the call, man. There were a lot of people that saw a really raw but good prospect in Mitchell Trubisky, but the trade up to 2, he had conviction. That's just the fact. You had to look at Deshaun Watson and go, that guy did it on the biggest stage twice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take my shot there. But there were other teams that thought he was an injury concern. He'd had an ACL in college. He tore his ACL again in the pros. But since that point, he's been a stud.
I just think that was going to be the guy. I just think that Watson, for some team, was going to be the guy. And he's been really good. We haven't even seen the best of Watson just as of yet.
All right, we're going to go back to baseball because Bob Nightingale has info on the Mike Clevenger sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
Our Chuck Garfine, our guy, and NBC Sports Chicago's lead White Sox guy. Our Chuck Garfine discusses all of it in 2 minutes.
Shot.
No shot.